Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin, and today I have Chris Morton here with me. And Chris is the owner and founder of Topsite, which is a digital marketing agency based in Guelph, Canada. So really excited to have Chris here with me today. And we're going to be discussing his journey of starting his agency, some challenges that he's had to overcome along the way, and how he continues to grow Topsite. So thanks so much for joining me today, Chris.
Hey, Julia. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. So to get started, I'd love to know what really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner.
What motivates me the most is probably kind of at the core of why I started the agency, and that is really to help small businesses grow and compete with, you know, the larger competitors, particularly the larger franchises that tend to dominate the market. I really, really love to help independent businesses kind of get a foothold and edge out that kind of competition. That really drives me.
Yeah, I love that. And so how did you originally get into digital marketing?
I worked in manufacturing for a really long time, and I got kind of sick of it just because it wasn't what I wanted to do. It was really just to pay the bills. So I started to study website development just in my free time, just to learn how to do it. And then I decided that was where I wanted to focus on for my career. So I actually started in digital marketing with like an internship with a digital marketing company. And then that's how I got a lot of experience in website development, but also worked on multiple different kind of marketing plans that involved, you know, all sorts of different levels of marketing, like advertising, branding, video, SEO, and just started to get a grander understanding of what it looks like when you put all that stuff together as part of a proper marketing plan. And for me, that was when I think originally I was excited about websites and building websites and perhaps working on apps one day or something. It was all very development focused. And then my internship eventually turned into a full-time role at the company I was with. I was there for about 3 years, and I learned a lot about marketing in general, and it just made me want to pursue that as a career, like not just get stuck in development, but to generally helping people grow their businesses.
That's really interesting. Okay. And then, so you kind of got a taste for marketing with that internship. And then, so how did you end up making that transition to starting an agency?
I guess over time with the former employer before I started Topsite, I became less happy with the workplace culture, and I also just I didn't like the way we were really the way we were structured as far as how we were doing our services and how we were pricing out our services for clients. Like, we were largely working with small businesses, businesses that were generally, you know, like 5 to 10 employees, under $1 million a year in revenue. But we were charging, I won't give the numbers, but I'll just say we were charging way too much. And I just couldn't see how our clients were getting a solid return on investment for their marketing services. Because the whole idea of marketing services is that you put in a bit of money, and then that comes back as more money as far as revenue goes for your business. Like, that's the whole idea.
Yeah.
And so many of our clients were spending so much on marketing that I just thought, how can this turn into enough extra revenue for you to be able to justify the costs? So the cost part was a big part of it, whereas just I had, through working in marketing for a long time, I was considering return on investment a lot as a big part of how marketing can work for businesses. And right. I just wasn't seeing that at the company I was with. It didn't seem sustainable for them. Like, their overhead was huge, and we had a lot of people in roles that didn't contribute to the bottom line. They were just kind of busybodies that were micromanaging, getting in the way. And so for me, like I said, I didn't see that as being sustainable. It wasn't something I wanted to be a part of in the long term. So that's when I decided to start Topsite, was that I just thought, I think I can do this myself. Like, I knew definitely from at that point, like a website and SEO perspective, I was like, okay, I can definitely provide these services to people. But what if I build a website and a team that can provide like full service marketing services, or a full range of marketing services? So I began working on that, and that's really how Topsite was born.
Awesome. And then, so when you were first starting out, how did you get those first few clients?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. So my first client, like, one of the things I identified right away was that and would need to build a portfolio to get new clients, especially when you're working with creative content like websites or anything like that. You want to be able to show people what you've done to inspire the trust and confidence in them to work with you. So mm-hmm. The first job I actually undertook was a volunteer job where I volunteered to build a website for a charity, a nonprofit here in Guelph. And that's actually a really cool story, because it's kind of the origins of Topsite, and it's also how I met my fiance. So it's a really cool kind of, it's for me personally, I consider it as like my part of my origin story, was that project in particular was I had kind of just volunteered time so that I could build a website and say, this is something I did, not under any other company's name. This is a Topsite product. And and it was just one of those situations where it was just the person that I worked with most closely on the project, we really hit it off, and now nearly 5 years later we're engaged and looking forward to
it. Oh, that's a cool story.
That's a really fun part of it. So that was the first project we did, was just me building a website for free, and hoping that if I put the time in, like use my free time to make it as good as possible, then I could use that to wow other people into working with me. And so that's really, really where it kicked off. And then for paid work after that, it was really just using my network, people I know in the community, and trying to find who needs a website, who needs a new website, and who needs SEO services. Those were the two websites, and SEO services were what I was pushing the most at the beginning. And I got some good recommendations and things started to go well. And then I got a couple of, bigger contracts where I managed to connect with the right people and say all the right things. And before I knew it, I'd say starting out from when I quit my old job, I would say there was about 6 to 9 months of like real hard times. Like, am I going to pay the rent? Hard times. And that's part of, anyone listening to this, if you're thinking about starting out, that's likely going to be your experience, unless you have a lot of money behind you, is that you can't guarantee thousands of dollars a month in revenue that you need to pay your bills until you've built the company to a certain level. So yeah, there were some hard times in the beginning for sure. But like I say, once I won those first couple of big contracts, like people who weren't nickel and diming me, and people that were actually like, hey, we have this budget, what can you do for us? That was when I really started to win as far as Topsite goes.
Nice. And then, so how has your strategy evolved to, you know, what you guys are currently doing now with regards to bringing in more leads into your agency?
Yeah, I would say that with time and a lot of effort, our website, mostly through search engine optimization, brings us the most leads, just because if you Google website or web design or SEO services or anything related to those, if you Google those in Guelph, we'll show up like top one or two spots for local search, and then organic results.
Nice.
We're usually somewhere on the first page, depending on where you are in the city. And yeah. So a lot of our leads would come through SEO originally. And then over the last year, I would say we've had more leads, because I get a lot of leads through the website, but I get a lot of kind of looky-loos, like people that are just, you know, just testing the waters, or
yeah,
sometimes competitors in disguise trying to figure out our pricing and things like that. But I would say over the last year, more business we've got has actually come through recommendations. So this is clients that we work with that are like saying to other business owners, these guys are awesome, you should work with them. Or clients who have had other business owners say to them, wow, your website is fantastic. Where do I get a website like that? And yeah, so that's a lot of our business recently, especially some of our best clients, have been referrals from other clients, which is something we've recognized only these last few months. It's been like, hey, you know, not just a lot of our business, but most of our best clients are coming from this source. So that's something we're starting to build a strategy around now, where we're starting to think, you know, can we offer our existing clients like a month of free marketing services when they refer people to us? Because the referrals always turn out so well, and they're almost always likely to close as clients.
Yeah.
That's something we're kind of currently focusing on, and we're working on a strategy for right now.
Awesome. And then, so because I know you mentioned that you know you're bringing in a steady number of referrals now, what do you think is the key to maintaining happy clients so that they're going to, you know, hopefully bring in those referrals?
I don't think there's a singular key. It's like a keychain with loads of keys on it. Let's say that.
I like that.
Because really, one of the main things I always tell people that for our monthly clients, so people use us for marketing, SEO, blogging, social media, advertising, those people love us because of our reporting. That's generally the feedback I've got anyway, is that we're, compared to our competitors, we give monthly reporting for all the services that we'll tell you about, like where all your website traffic has come from, whether it's come from ads, whether it's come from organic search. Mm-hmm. So they can tell, if they're invested in multiple marketing initiatives, they can tell what's bringing the value. They say, okay, we spent $500 last month on social media, but we only got 50 visitors to our website from it. Is it really worth, you know, $10 a visitor? Or I'm not sure if I'm doing my quick math well, but yeah. So the idea is that it gives them a way to assess what's working and what's not. It also allows us to assess that too. And also shows mm-hmm. them that we're being honest. We're not, if things don't go well in a month, like if traffic is way down or if leads are way down, then our monthly reporting will say that, and we're being honest about it. But you also get a personal write-up from me saying, this is why we think this happened. I can either say factually, this is the reason this is low, or I can say this is our hypothesis on why this has happened. And I can explain what we're going to be doing in the following month to try and resolve that and improve on things. So
I like that.
I think the transparency of it all, I think, is probably what's most important to our clients through the reporting. So I think that's part of what gets us referrals. I think the fact that we're not greedy. I manage our overhead really carefully so that we can provide affordable marketing services to small businesses. We are by mm-hmm. no means the budget option, but we're certainly we certainly are much cheaper than our like larger competitors, especially if you look towards like the GTA and stuff like that. Like bigger agencies, like they're generally charging like upwards of 20,000 for a website or something like that. And we can compete, we can be very competitive with our pricing against companies like that. So right. I think we build a lot of trust by not being super expensive. So I think that that really helps as far as, again, getting referrals and keeping people happy. I'm also really dedicated to communication. So I try really hard, emails come in, I try and get back to them. Well, usually it's by the next business day, but it's often that same day, which I think people value a lot. And
yeah, definitely.
So I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot of reasons why people like working with us. But I think overall, yeah, like being transparent, offering services at a reasonable price, and and generally just being there for them when they need us, rather than just kind of ghosting them until it's convenient for us. I've heard all sorts of horror stories from clients who have worked with other marketing companies, and a lot of lessons about what people don't want from their marketing provider, and I try and bring that forwards.
Yeah, and I really like that customized message, you know, because it's really easy to just, you know, generate a standard report and send it off, and it can be, you know, confusing to someone who's not, you know, who doesn't fully understand SEO. And so I think like breaking it down, having that customized touch where you guys are explaining, you know, if something is, you know, not as expected, you're explaining why, how you'll improve the next month, how you are working to improve the next month. I think that's a really great strategy and a really great way to just allow your client to feel heard.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's just, it's a huge value add as far as I'm concerned. I think our competitors that do provide reporting are probably just hitting an export button in Google Analytics and just taking that PDF and sticking it in an email to their clients. Whereas it's actually a bit of a tough time for me at the beginning of the month, having to put together the reporting for all our clients, because it is so custom that it takes me well over an hour to complete just one client report, let alone all of our client reports. So yeah. It's difficult, but like I say, I do think it's a huge value add for our services, is that, like you say, people feel like we're actually really paying close attention to their campaign and providing them with the best like custom recommendations.
Yeah, I love that. I had a guest on the other day who was mentioning that they do a Loom video as well, which I think is cool, just sort of outlining the report. So that's also, I think, a cool strategy.
Yeah, something I'll definitely keep note of. It's a good idea.
Yeah. So I'd love to know, you know, what has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown Topsite?
It's a difficult question. We've been running for about 4 years, and first few years of that was mostly myself. And I think that the biggest challenge for me at that point was trying to wear every single hat, you know, all the hats of a marketing agency. Like I was doing everything. And that was the biggest challenge for me, I think, was probably to get to a point where I could actually build out a team and start to kind of divide and conquer a bit more. So that was a big challenge for me for a while, because I just couldn't get to that point where I was ready to do that. And then just this last kind of year or two is where we've made the most progression with that, where I brought in a content writer, brought in another developer, brought in a designer, and we're all working together. And let's say we divide and conquer now, and that's been a huge help. But I think the biggest challenge we're facing in kind of like a post-COVID, or I don't know if I can really say post-COVID because people are still getting it all over the place, but in a COVID world, has been kind of competing in a saturated market as far as marketing goes.
Yeah.
You've probably heard this from a lot of people that you've interviewed, is that during the pandemic, it seems like everyone just became a digital marketer, and there's like all of a sudden there are so many small marketing companies around. Often they're usually just run by one person who's trying to do it all, kind of like me in the beginning. And so it's really difficult, because especially on the cheaper end of things, it's very competitive, because there are a lot of people that are just working from home, no overhead, no team to pay, no software costs, and so all they've got to worry about is paying themselves. So they're able to be very, very competitive pricing wise. So we're trying to kind of stand out as the next level above that, to be like, okay, if you want to work with a team of professionals to specialize in different areas of marketing, then we want Topside to be your number one choice, especially if you're in Guelph. Because I love working with local businesses, because I get a lot of energy out of meeting with people socially, like face to face. And I also like kind of mutually beneficial relationships, where we're helping companies and they have ways to help us, and I find things like that work a lot better locally. Sorry, I feel like I got a bit sidetracked from the original question there, but as far as the challenges when it comes to competing in a saturated market, I would say that what we've done is we've built what I think is a world-class website. I don't think that there are really any of our competitors really come close to presenting design and user experience speeds that are as good as our site, at least locally. And then we've also just really tightened up everything else. Like, our social media game is really strong now. I try and put our team in front of people as much as possible, to show people we have a team, show people that it isn't one person trying to wear every single marketing hat and do everything. And and I felt like recently we focused on that a lot, and I think that has been helping us edge out a lot of competition. Is that, you know, when people decide to start working with us, I'll often ask them, you know, how did you form this decision? You know, who else were you looking at potentially working with? I'm always interested to see how they arrived at working with us. And a lot of people will tell us that they're just like, they're looking for someone like a full service marketing agency. They're looking for someone who can take care of everything. They don't want a separate social media person and a separate copywriting person and a separate web person. They want a company that can do it for them. So I think by making ourselves a bit more like comprehensive in the services that we offer and in marketing, I think that has helped us win a lot of contracts recently.
I like that. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. You know, that's basically what small businesses want now. It's so much easier for them to deal with one agency who's going to cover all their different marketing needs. And then also, I think it makes the client stickier as well when you're able to, you know, you don't necessarily just niche into offering one service, but you're able to be broad in your offerings. I think that definitely helps create a stickier client.
Yeah, definitely. And for us as well, it's like because websites were a big part of our revenue before, and they still are, but websites are all one-off projects, well, for the most part. So you can't really rely on websites from a revenue perspective for like financial planning. So for us, a big part of like growing into being full service was about being able to stack into some monthly services so that we can have more guaranteed revenue on the books, so that we can continue to plan financially. And that's one big bit of advice I would give to agency owners or potential agency owners, would just be that you will want to be able, you might not need to right away, but in the future you will want to be able to plan 1 year, 3 year, 5 years in the future and know kind of what that looks like. And if you're doing one-off services, you're never going to have a good hold on what that looks like. Whereas if you're working towards something that has like monthly billing and sustainable growth to it, then I think you can plan for that a lot better. And then yep. The stuff you do that's one-off, like your websites and such, they end up just kind of being like bonuses. Like you have to make time for them in your team, but the revenue that comes for them is this largely unplanned. You kind of have goals, but usually you set them low so you exceed them. And I think you understand what I'm saying. They generally come through as like extra money or extra revenue, which is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Awesome. And then, so where do you see TopSite in 5 years' time? What are your goals?
This kind of changes often. Sometimes I have to keep myself grounded because I'm a bit of a dreamer. And I think that's why I was probably a good fit for starting my own company, is that, you know, I have that power of belief. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, five years sounds like loads of time right now. So I could see us, as far as locally is concerned, like I can see us being kind of like the primary choice in Guelph and the surrounding townships for websites and marketing services. But mm-hmm. I think within 5 years we'll probably see us cross some provincial boundaries as well, where I spend a decent amount of time on the East Coast in Nova Scotia, and I'd love to grow our business into that province, because from all the market research I've done, there is a lot less competition there. Obviously there's a lot less business, a lot less people there than there are in South Ontario, but I still think that there is a gap in the market there for a company like TopSite. So that's I guess I've just announced that on a podcast, so no one steal my idea, but that's one of the places we might be headed.
Awesome. Well, that's exciting to look forward to for sure. Awesome. Well, so we're now going to be moving on to the fast five. So I have five rapid fire questions for you now. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I wish this wasn't part of the fast five, because I feel like I could deep dive into this for a while. I've read a lot of like books on like leadership and building companies and things like that, but I would say the biggest impact from all the books, probably Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. You've probably had that response a fair bit, but and I know it's probably more helpful for people in a sales role, but I think if you deal with human beings, that book is such a massive insight into how people want to be communicated with.
Yeah.
And, if you're looking for something a bit shorter and a bit, bearing in mind like How to Win Friends and Influence People, part of why it's such a good book is it's like over 100 years old now. So
yeah.
I mean, obviously there have been new additions, but the main concept of the book remains. So I think that does say something a lot about the book. And then if you're looking for something a bit more modern that kind of conforms to the same message, I really liked the Power of Nice, which is
okay. I haven't read that one.
It's just the book that's generally just about like how when you're nice to people, nice things happen to you, and like just has a lot of examples about if you behave the way you want to be treated, then generally that comes back. It's a simple concept, but it's a nice reminder to read something like that.
Yeah. Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
I guess we'll skip the bathroom routine and move straight on to walking the dog and making coffee. And it takes me about an hour to get going in the morning. I take my dog out around the block, come back. By then I usually have a nice big pot of tea steeped. I usually get to up here to my office about an hour before we start. So I meet with my team every day at 9 a.m. We have a virtual stand-up meeting at 9 a.m. where we usually just meet for like 10, 15 minutes and go over where we're at with our projects and what everyone's working on for the day. So I try and get to my office for around about 8 a.m. So I have about an hour to reply to any unanswered emails from the day before, make sure all my tasks are set up for the team in our project management software, make sure everything's set up for everyone ahead of the day. And then if there's like 20 minutes spare ahead of our meeting or something in the morning, I might just flick over to a podcast or YouTube or something like that and just enjoy a little bit of my own time ahead of getting started. But only if there's time, the preparation for the day takes priority.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
There are multiple CEOs and just like generally like leaders in the marketing space that I have followed over time. These last few years, not as closely as I haven't been, I guess just since COVID, there hasn't been the opportunity to attend like seminars and conferences and things like that as much. So before COVID, I was able to, it felt like I was exposed to a lot of leaders, but just by attending conferences and things in person and being able to see people up on the stage giving speeches about marketing and thinking, okay, wow, this person really knows what they're talking about. I'll follow them online. I'll read their posts. I'll see what they're about. If I had to just pick one, I guess probably Tobias Lucht, who is he's the CEO of Shopify. I think just to pick a Canadian company with a CEO who I don't necessarily agree with absolutely everything he says, but he stands by everything he says, which is something I think is a good quality in a leader, to just know where you stand and not be on the fence, not trying to please everyone. I also really love that like he dropped out of school to pursue an apprenticeship in I can't remember, programming or computer science or something like that, but he dropped out of school and did that. And that's something that I find inspirational, as someone who has not been in full-time education since I was 16. Like I'm always inspired by world leaders and CEOs that didn't pursue a formal education and was still very successful nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And do you have a favorite online tool?
I have a long list of favorite online tools. I'll try and keep this quick fire because I know I haven't for the last few, but
they're never rapid fire.
For SEO, I would say SEMrush is probably one most people in the SEO space have heard of. If you haven't, just Google it, but you can track your positions and a whole bunch of other stuff that's really helpful for all types of search engine marketing. For design, I would say Figma is a tool that we found in the last year or two, it's kind of like Photoshop, but it's like a free online tool you can use in your browser, and I think it's better than Photoshop. So designers use Figma. And then the final one for me would be Coolors, which is something we use for branding, COOLORS.
Okay.
And that allows you to, it has like a color palette generator. So if you're like working with a company and you want to build a new brand and you want to generate all your colors, it has a color generator that will only generate colors that that complement each other, like colors that don't clash, colors that actually fit and as part of the same scheme. And
that's so helpful.
Yeah,
it can be so time consuming coming up with a color palette.
Yeah, so I often sometimes like a client will be building a website for a client and they'll have say like a company blue color and they're like, okay, this is our company branding, and they send me a logo that uses a blue color, and I'm like, okay, we might need maybe like another color to use on the website to accent, and they're like, okay, just pick one. And before, I used to spend ages like trying to find the perfect way to find the right color. And now I just use Coolors and the generator. Once I input their blue color, the generator will give me options as to colors that will match or go along with that color. Saves me loads of time.
Nice. That's such a great tip. Awesome. And then, so last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I think the most important thing would be that failure is growth. The idea of failing forwards, I really like. And I wish in my first year or two of learning, especially learning development, that someone had told me that, because I would get, in the beginning, I would get so frustrated with something that I expected to take me half an hour, takes me 8 hours. And I'm just like, oh, I'm so dumb. How can I not? Why aren't I getting this? Why doesn't it make any sense? And I've ruined this. I've got it wrong. And that, obviously that was a young and, you know, inexperienced, frustrated person. And like now, I'm very much in a place where I really recognize how beneficial those experiences were. Like the reason it took 8 hours instead of half an hour is because I was learning, is because I was figuring out the way to do it successfully. It wasn't because I kept failing, because I wasn't competent. It was just the natural process of figuring it out. So so I would say that's the biggest thing to, that's the best advice I could give, especially for people starting out and especially in development, is just fail forwards, accept it as part of the process, and just understand that the failure is growth. Failure is not, failure doesn't have a period after it, or it's not the end of the story. It's just one step further towards success.
Yeah. And oftentimes, you know, when you have that feeling of discomfort, it's like people shy away from it because it's uncomfortable. But like you said, it's you're growing, you're learning, and it takes time to get to a point where you're fully competent in, you know, certain areas of your business where you need to be growing. So almost just getting comfortable with the idea of being uncomfortable, I think, is really important as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, 100%. I think being outside your comfort zone, not all the time, but often, is really important. Or I can't remember what the other phrase for it was, to take the road less traveled, or take the path less traveled, something like that, where it's just the idea of exploring new things and figuring things out for yourself, that is the path to growth.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Chris, it's been a pleasure to have you on today's show. So thank you for joining me to share a little bit about your journey of starting Topsite and, you know, some challenges you've had to overcome along the way. So thank you again.
It has been my pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.